It's week 9, and we got 18 more games to make predictions on.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I am, of course, your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. And we have got 18 more games for week number 9 that we're going to make a pick on. That's what we do on this show. I just tell you which direction I would go based on the spread, and then we go from there. It's a good time every week. We do all right. It's not crazy. Overall, on the season thus far, in the big games, that's right, I have a 10 biggest games video that we do, 36-43-1 against the number. That's not good. As far as the others, that includes midweek games and this video, 86-79 against the spread. So overall, on the year, 122-122-1. Exactly 50%. Not great, not terrible. Just is what it is. When you're picking this many games, I mean, it's worth a shot, right? Worth a shot. So sometimes I go against my numbers, sometimes I don't. If you would like these spreadsheets that I put out every week, I do it for every single FBS game. You can get them over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Go ahead, subscribe to the video, subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments, and let's get to it. Game number 1. 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on FS1. Wisconsin headed out to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks. And Oregon is a 33.5 point, in some cases 34.5, depending on the book, favorite. 44.5 is the total on this. Now, I've got a projected total of 51.39. The total has gone from 45.5 down to 44.5 on this. My stats projected total, or stats projected spread on this, is Oregon minus 32.5. My power rating only has Oregon minus 23. My last 4 weeks numbers, which is a spread based just on the last 4 weeks of games, I've got Oregon minus 33.25. So I'm right at the number. It's almost like they cannot get the number high enough for exactly how bad this Wisconsin team has become. Oregon is number 1 in the country in PPA margin, Wisconsin number 128. So you were looking at the best team as far as predicted points added against a bottom 8 team as far as predicted points added. Wisconsin number 108 in offensive success, number 123 in defensive success. You know, you could blame some of this stuff on the fact that the quarterback got hurt, but Billy Edwards don't play on the defensive side of the ball. Number 126 in passing success allowed, number 112 in rushing success allowed. Maybe the defense is going to be able to stop the run a little bit. You know, Wisconsin number 32 in PPA allowed per rush, number 38 in yards allowed per rush. But Oregon is number 2 and number 1 in those stats. Oregon should be able to do basically whatever they want to when they have the ball. Special teams is in Oregon's favor or Oregon's advantage as well, number 15 to number 103. When Wisconsin has the ball, Oregon's defense is really good too. Wisconsin maybe wants to run it some. They run the ball 54% of the time. That's Jeff Grimes' offense. That makes sense, especially considering you don't know what you're going to get out of the quarterback. They are number 134 in interceptions per pass attempt. Oregon is number 3 in interceptions gained per pass attempt. That's not good. I mean, that's putting it mildly. If they try and throw the ball, Oregon is going to get some interceptions here, in which case it could get really crazy. Not a lot of penalties in, like, on either side of the ball for either of these teams. They're both inside the top 10 as far as penalties per game. They are both outside the top 108 as far as penalties generated, I guess, from the opposing team. So, you know, but as far as when Wisconsin has the ball, their best chance at success is running the football. They are number 41 in offensive line yards, number 28 in stuff rate. Oregon is number 102 in stuff rate. Oregon number 24 in offensive line yards. I mean, you're looking at five factors. Oregon number 4, Wisconsin number 119. And yet we just had the dreaded vote of confidence for Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. I don't think they want to fire him, but also don't know that this team is even fighting anymore. So, I mean, whatever number you put up for Oregon, that's the side I would have to go with. I mean, it's a little too rich for my blood. I wouldn't feel comfortable laying this many points. But yeah, if you're going to go with a side, is there anything that Wisconsin has shown you that would lead you to bet on them? I don't think so. Give me the Ducks minus, best number is 33.5. Staying in the Big Ten, 11 a.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network, Rutgers goes to Purdue, and the Scarlet Knights are a 2.5-point road favorite. Total is 58.5 or 59.5, depending on the book. My stats projected spread has Purdue minus 1.19. My power rating has Purdue minus 1.4. And my last 4 weeks, and yes, this includes the shutout loss at Northwestern, I've got Purdue minus 17.68. Purdue has played a tougher strength of schedule, number 16, compared to Rutgers, number 55. Looking at what these teams have done thus far, Purdue 2-5 straight up on the year, Rutgers 3-4. And both of those are how many games they've actually covered. Purdue, 2 wins against the spread. Rutgers, 3 wins against the spread. You look at five factors ranked. Purdue, 59th. Rutgers, number 101. And Purdue is at home. I'm sure they want to get that that loss out of their mouth from last week. I mean, they just got embarrassed at Northwestern. Number 98 in PPA margin is Purdue. Number 105 is Rutgers. When I look at this Rutgers defense, Purdue is going to have success against them, whether it is running the ball, which they are number 37 in rushing success rate, number 36 in PPA per rush. They're only number 95 as far as yards per rush. But Rutgers defense, number 130 in PPA allowed per rush, number 134 in yards allowed per rush, number 127 in rushing success. So Purdue will be able to run the football on them. As far as throwing the football, which is what Purdue likes to do most, they're number 33 in passing rate in the country, just short of 54%. Purdue, number 9 in passing success rate, but they're number 112 in PPA per pass. The problem is Purdue is number 128 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. Well, Rutgers is only number 109 in interceptions gained per pass attempt, so I wouldn't look for them to get a lot of stops. I will say that. Rutgers on defense, like I said, number 130 PPA allowed per pass, number 134 in yards allowed per pass, number 133 in QBR, number 133 in passing success allowed. Rutgers defense, for a Greg Schiano defense, they are atrocious. I mean, this is really, really bad. On the other side of the ball, oh, by the way, special teams, that advantage goes to Purdue as well. PPA per pass. Rutgers, number 51 in PPA per pass. Purdue's defense, number 125. Rutgers, number 46 in yards per pass attempt. This is all the Greek rifle, by the way. Number 46 in yards per pass attempt. Purdue, number 124 in yards allowed. Purdue is not good against the pass. Rutgers is going to have success there. Don't know how much success Rutgers will have running the football, but they could have some. That's what Purdue does best, is they stop the run. Again, looking at five factors rank, I think Purdue should be favored here. I will take Purdue plus the 2.5, but I also might just have them in a money line round robin this week. So give me the Boilermakers plus 2.5. 3:15 p.m. Central Time on the SEC Network. The Texas Longhorns make their trip down to Stark Vegas. They're going to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and the Longhorns are, and we're sitting on a key number here, anywhere from a 6.5 to a 7.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Across the board, it's in both places. So, cheers to that. 44.5 to 45.5 is the total. Again, on both sides of a key number there. My stats projected spread has got Texas favored by 5.26. My power rating has Texas minus 6. My last 4 weeks has Texas minus 16.49. This Mississippi State team came out of the gates hot, had a chance to win against Florida last week, but there are certain games that they've given up some points, right? They're 4-3 straight up. They are 6-1 against the spread. So they've done a pretty good job. They covered against Tennessee in a loss. They covered against Florida in a loss. They did not cover against Texas A&M. Texas, on the other hand, 5-2 straight up, but they are only 2-5 against the spread. Five factors rank. Texas, actually, surprisingly, this is not the five factors plus talent, but in the things that win football games, Texas is pretty good. Number 8 in five factors. Mississippi State is number 25. Let's look when State has the ball on offense. They are number 34 in offensive success rate, only number 70 passing the ball, but number 10 rushing the ball. Fluff Bothwell, don't think he's going to play, I don't believe. What does that mean against this Texas defense? Texas' defense is number 7 in yards allowed per rush. State's offense, number 61 in yards per rush. State's offense, number 10 in rushing success. Texas is number 22. Did I say State? State is number 10 in rushing success. Texas is number 22 in rushing success allowed. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch. Who can have success right there? Mississippi State, special teams advantage here. When Texas has the football, the offense has been bad. Number 107 offensive success rate, number 82 passing, number 79 rushing. And this defense for Mississippi State is pretty good against the pass, has not been good against the run. Number 94 in rushing success allowed, that's not good. But Texas is only number 79 in rushing success rate. They run the ball 52% of the time. They are number 94 in PPA per rush, number 83 in yards per rush, number 79 in rushing success, and number 115 in rushing explosiveness. Mississippi State's defense, they're good against the pass, but against the run, number 62 PPA allowed per rush, number 90 in yards allowed per rush, number 111 in rush rate, number 94 in rushing success allowed, but they are number 13 in rushing explosiveness allowed. I think State's going to be fired up for this one. And, yeah, Texas had a clunker, if you will, against Kentucky last week. The fact that we can get this on both sides, I feel pretty good considering my power rating and my stats projected spread both have State staying within this number. The last 4 weeks, though, that doesn't make me feel real good because I know that Mississippi State does not have the kind of depth that Texas does. But I feel good about Jeff Lebby and that bunch in this game. I think they're going to have some tricks up their sleeves. I will take Mississippi State plus 7.5 at home. Back to the Big Ten, 11 a.m. Central Time on FS1, Nebraska hosting Northwestern. Nebraska did not look good on the road against Minnesota last week, did they? Northwestern has looked a whole lot better as of late. I will certainly say that. Nebraska is a 6.5 or a 7.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Of course, both sides of the key number there. 43.5 is our total, so that's come down from 44.5 at opening. My stats projected total is 42.5 on this, so I'm looking for a lower scoring game. My stats projected spread has Nebraska minus 8.31. My power rating has Nebraska minus 5.6. My last 4 weeks number has Northwestern minus 2.32. Northwestern is surprising some teams. If you were not paying attention, this team that got absolutely hosed, not hosed, what's a good word? Got trounced by Tulane in the opening game of the season. They are now 5-2 straight up, 4-2 against the number. FCS games not going to count with where I get these numbers from. 4-2 against the spread. Nebraska 2-4 against the spread, but 5-2 straight up. So interesting when you look at the five factors rank, because you would think Northwestern, discipline, David Braun, what he likes to do, especially on defense, etc. But it's been more the offense. Number 52 in offensive success rate compared to Northwestern number 75 in defensive success rate. Northwestern has played the tougher strength of schedule as well. So that's something to pay attention to. But five factors rank Nebraska number 28, Northwestern number 63. And that's just raw five factors. That's not talent included in that. Found that very interesting. Very interesting. Nebraska, number 14 in first half point margin. Northwestern, number 67. Northwestern tends to get most of their dirty work done in the second half. So, you know, Nebraska first half might be a way to look at this. But we are picking just the game. That's what we do on this show. So let's take a look. Northwestern, not very good at stopping the run on defense, luckily for them. Nebraska is not very good at running it. Nebraska is number 101 in yards per rush. Northwestern, number 98. Northwestern, pretty good at defending the pass. But when you start to look at, like, passing downs, when you are in a position where you have to throw the football or you are expected to throw the football, Nebraska, number 29 in passing down success. Northwestern, number 105. So that's certainly going to go towards Nebraska. On the other side, Northwestern likes to run the football. They run it over 57% of their offensive snaps. They're number 38 in rushing success. Nebraska, number 63. Number 41 in yards per rush attempt. Nebraska, number 104. This is an interesting spot because I believed in Nebraska last week. I am so not believing in them right now. I know that their offense can put up some points, but Northwestern's defense, at least stopping the pass, is pretty good. Number 27 in QBR allowed, Nebraska number 11. I mean, there's a huge talent gap here. Number 22 for Nebraska, number 60 for Northwestern, but I don't know that Nebraska's got enough skill talent to be able to really overwhelm these guys. And Northwestern, number 130 in pace of play, Nebraska's number 100. So it's not like Nebraska has a ton more snaps to be able to get this done. I'm going to go with my last 4 weeks number and my power rating. I can get more than a touchdown here. I'm going to take the Wildcats. I'm sure my Westlake Pirates boys will be happy about this one. Northwestern plus 7.5. At some point, you just got to believe in what David Braun is doing. 5-2 sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, let's see what they got this week. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. I will take Northwestern plus 7.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? GhostSleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at GhostSleeves.com.
If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, like the video. You guys know what to do. Of course, jump in the comments. Let me know your picks on these games. Don't just make it about me. It's not just me. Y'all know what's up. All right, we got to go faster through some of these games. So, staying in the Big Ten. Minnesota at Iowa, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS. That's right, the most watched network. The network of stars, as Gary Parrish would say. Iowa is an 8.5 to a 9.5 point home favorite, total of 38.5 to 39.5. And I was shocked at this number. I said, there's no way. There's no way. Absolutely not. But Darius Taylor is back for Minnesota. He had a big game against Nebraska last week. Minnesota seems to be perpetually injured. The stats that I've got don't include when Taylor was out, and Taylor is a one-man wrecking ball. He's incredible. So Minnesota's offense is significantly better whenever he is back. When he is not back, they are number 123 in PPA per rush, number 99 in yards per rush. And I'll tell you, even with him back, going against Iowa's defense, that's pretty rough. It's pretty difficult to do. Minnesota, last week was the first game that they covered, 1-4 against the number. That's certainly not good. You look at five factors rank, Iowa number 15, Minnesota number 47. I mean, these Minnesota numbers are terrible. Both of these teams are outside the top 124 in pace of play. So you're not going to get a lot of plays in this game. So trying to get to, you know, 8.5, 9.5, it basically got to win by double digits. Seems kind of difficult for an Iowa team that can't throw the football, and they're going against a defense that is pretty good in Minnesota that is pretty good against run. None of that made sense. But I hope that you are smelling what I'm cooking. So, Minnesota number 20 in yards allowed per rush. Iowa number 34. Iowa's number 8 in offensive line yards. Minnesota's defense is number 80. So that could be an issue. Looking at turnovers, both teams pretty good at not giving the ball away, both inside the top 22 as far as giveaways per game. Penalties per game, both of these top five least penalized teams in the country. You look at five factors, though. Iowa 15, Minnesota 47. I think Iowa wins the game. I think this number has gotten out of hand. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. You know, my power rating, I understand it because Minnesota had some injuries. And Minnesota has not been a covering machine at all. But this is the time of year where PJ Fleck kind of, he could get dragged into a game like this. So, I mean, you got a total that is sitting at 38.5 to 39.5, and you're expecting Iowa to win by double digits? I wouldn't feel so good about that. Give me Minnesota. Best number I can get is 9.5. I'll take Minnesota plus 9.5 in this one. Let's get after another Big Ten game, right? Michigan going to Michigan State. This one, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on NBC. And Michigan right now, a 13.5 to 14.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Of course, that is through a key number. 48.5 to 49 is the total, of course, depending on the book. That total has come down. Going to guess not a lot of people are expecting Michigan State to be able to put up a bunch of points. And Michigan doesn't put up a bunch of points anyway. They are number 70 in offensive points per game, and they are number 17 in defensive points per game. Michigan State, however, pretty bad on defense. Number 121 in points allowed per game, 32.7 points. Now, granted, they have played a pretty rough schedule of offenses, but either way, Michigan State, number 110 in PPA margin, Michigan, number 28. Michigan, not very good on special teams, number 90 in SP Plus special teams efficiency. Michigan State is number 61 there. This Michigan State defense, the thing that they do best is stop the run. So that certainly plays into their favor here. It's just that they're not very good at it. Number 106 in rushing success allowed, number 82 in yards allowed per rush. Michigan is number 10 and number 27 in those metrics. On the other side of the ball, Michigan State, when they've got the ball, they're not great. They're doing a little bit better passing as of late, number 64 in QBR, number 57 in PPA per pass. They are, outside of that, number 91 in passing success, number 91 in passing explosiveness, number 77 in yards per pass attempt. Like, they may be able to put up some points. I don't expect a lot. The problem is that I don't expect Michigan on the road to be able to put up a ton of points either. I do think Aiden Childs is good for one long pass or some explosive play or something like that. I think Michigan State can get 13, 14 points on the board. Do I expect Michigan to put up any more than 24 to 28? Probably not. And if that's the case, this thing being at 14.5, you know, I don't feel great about it, I will tell you that. But Michigan didn't really impress me against Washington last week. I know Michigan State is bad, but, you know, you look at these power rating numbers. I've got Michigan by 13. Projected stats, I've got Michigan by 15. And last 4 weeks, I've got Michigan by 12. If I can get a 14.5, why not take the home team in a rivalry, right? Give me Michigan State plus 14.5. I'll ride with Sparty. I ain't scared. Over to the Big 12, 11 a.m. Central Time on TNT, Kansas State. The Wildcats head over to Kansas. And right now, Kansas is a 2.5 or a 3-point favorite, depending on which book you get it at. And 56.5 is the total here. That has gone up from what it was at 54.5. My stats projected spread has Kansas minus almost 7. My power rating has Kansas by 5. My last 4 weeks has Kansas minus 4.75. So all of my numbers like Kansas. Kansas State is 3-4. Kansas is 4-3. There's not a huge difference here. Both of them are 3-4 against the spread. But when you look at five factors rank, the things that it takes to win a ball game, Kansas is number 16. Kansas State is number 62. Kansas State has more talent, number 38 in overall talent rank. But Kansas number 57 there. Kansas a little bit better as far as SP plus special teams efficiency. Kansas number 20, Kansas State 32. Kansas State's offense just cannot get going. It is mind-blowing. When you look at this team, they've had a few games where they've really figured it out. Kansas State finally put it all together against TCU. Was that just a one-off? Was that, you know, what exactly was that? Kansas State has owned this rivalry. Absolutely owned it. And now we're in a position, yeah, they're going to Kansas. I think home field is going to play a big part in this. I think Kansas, you know, they tasted victory in this rivalry, and I don't think they want to let that go. But I don't think that Kansas is great by any stretch of the imagination. I do think they're going to be able to put up some points on Kansas State. Kansas State can get out of position. They are not great against the pass. That's certainly a thing. Kansas throws it less than 48% of the time. But they are number 17 in PPA per pass, number 14 in yards per pass attempt, number 10 in QBR. You know, Kansas State's defense, number 67 in PPA allowed per pass, number 76 in yards allowed per attempt, and number 52 in QBR. So Kansas has an edge there. Kansas probably going to be able to run the ball a little bit, looks like. Number 31 in rushing success against Kansas State, number 48. On the other side, Kansas State, you know, passing success, number 72. Kansas's defense is number 40. If Kansas State can run the football, which they haven't been able to for most of the year, but if ever you were going to find a time to do it, right now should be the time. Because you look at position groups and, you know, Kansas State's defensive line, or offensive line number 46, Kansas's defensive line number 82. I mean, we saw Missouri just push this Kansas defense around. I wanted to take, when I saw a plus sign next to the number for Kansas State, I thought I had lost my mind. But when you really start diving into this, Kansas does a lot of stuff that Kansas State does not defend well. And Kansas State, it's a crapshoot as to whether or not their offense is going to show up. If I got to go one way, I'll have to go Kansas at home. I don't feel great about it by any stretch, but yeah, like I'll stick with my numbers here. Give me Kansas minus 2.5. Again, we're going to see. I don't know that I would actually wager on this thing, but I'll take Kansas minus the 2.5. To the ACC, and this one's 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN, we got a top 10 ranked Georgia Tech team who is now sitting at 7-0 straight up. They are 5-2 against the spread. Good gracious. Syracuse, 3-3 against the number, 3-4 straight up. They did play an FCS team, so obviously that one out of the record. Out of the record. Syracuse has just kind of fallen off ever since Steve Angeli went down. I hate that because Fran Brown has done some pretty awesome stuff. Like, I am a fan of his. Georgia Tech is a 17.5 point favorite, total of 54.5 on this one. Oh, boy. My stats projected spread has Georgia Tech by 15. My power rating has Georgia Tech minus 11.3. My last 4 weeks has Georgia Tech minus 8.6. Another game that I am not personally going to wager on. I don't know what version of Syracuse is going to show up, right? They've played the number 19 current strength of schedule. Georgia Tech has played the number 97 current strength of schedule. So these numbers for Georgia Tech, you know, number 34 in PPA margin compared to number 102, you flip these schedules around, things might be a little bit different. Might be a little bit different. None of my numbers think that Georgia Tech gets to winning this game by 18. However, you start to look at the offense, I think they'll be able to do whatever they want to. You look at special teams, they're better in special teams than Syracuse. They are more talented. On defense, the one thing that Syracuse wants to do the most is throw the football. They're number 18 in pass rate. They throw it almost 57% of the time. And yet they're not as good at throwing it as Georgia Tech is at defending that. number 71 in PPA per pass for Syracuse. Georgia Tech, number 60 in PPA allowed. That's predicted points added allowed. Looking at points per scoring opportunity, Syracuse, anytime they get a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line, they average 4 points on those drives, 4.10. Georgia Tech is 14th in the country in points allowed per scoring opportunity. They only give up 3 points per drive that gets a first down inside their 40. On the other side, Georgia Tech, not great at finishing drives. Number 88 in points per scoring opportunity. Well, Syracuse is only number 79. So I think Georgia Tech will be able to finish some drives. I don't know that Syracuse will be able to. Unless Syracuse does something explosive, which I'm not expecting, Georgia Tech is going to be able to just kind of hang on to the football, chill out. Syracuse is number 12 in pace of play. They're going to play fast no matter what. Georgia Tech is just going to hold on to the ball, and they're just going to run the ball and run it and run it. They're number 6 in yards per rush. Syracuse is number 100. It was a thing once upon a time that Georgia Tech could not cover as a favorite. I think we're past that point. Buster Faulkner's offense is legit. Five factors rank, Georgia Tech only number 51, and Syracuse number 76. But, of course, that number is just in a free fall because of losing the quarterback several weeks ago. I don't feel great about it because my numbers don't say it, but I'll take Georgia Tech here. Georgia Tech minus 17.5 at home against the corpse of the Orange.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
Go and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. All these wonderful stat sheets that you see right here, you can grab those over there. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or the easy domain is bettingcfb.com. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. I've got a matchup comparison tool so you can put in any hypothetical matchup you want to, see what the spread would be, see where they might be favored. So if you want to start looking ahead to conference championship games or playoff matchups, etc., you can do that. You can go check it out. Or looking ahead at future matchups before I put the spreadsheets out, because I only do that at the beginning of every week once the numbers are updated. But you could see what it would look like right now. Easiest way to do it. All right. Staying in the ACC, Virginia is headed to North Carolina. This one, 11 a.m. Central Time on the ACC Network. Virginia, a 10.5-point favorite on the road. 51.5 or 52.5 is the total, depending on which book you get it. My power rating has that number dead on, Virginia minus 10.5. My projected stat spread has Virginia minus 12.34. My last 4 weeks, North Carolina has started playing a little bit better. Virginia has started to fall back to the pack just a little bit. My last 4 weeks has got Virginia minus 7.11. And yes, home field is included in that, etc. I don't know how much of a home field advantage North Carolina is going to have, but I am certain it's better than if this game were in Charlottesville. So, number 37 in PPA margin is the Hoos here, and North Carolina, number 113 in PPA margin. Their offense has been dreadful. Number 127 in PPA per drive. They are awful at throwing the football. They're a little bit better at running the football. Number 106 in PPA per rush. Number 125 in predicted points added per pass. I look at this, and, you know, Virginia is better on defense than North Carolina's offense. Virginia's offense is better than North Carolina's defense. Virginia likes to run the football. They run the ball 53.29% of the time. They only throw it 46% of the time. North Carolina's defense has been pretty good against the run. Number 18 in PPA allowed per rush. Virginia's number 12. North Carolina's defense, number 32 in yards allowed per rush. Virginia's offense, number 30. If they can slow down Virginia's rushing attack, they got a shot here, right? They absolutely have a shot here. Passing down success rate, so when you're in third and long, et cetera, and you have to pass it. Virginia, number 35 in passing down success. North Carolina's defense, number 47. Okay, like, that's not crazy. North Carolina is, they've only covered two games this year. Virginia is 5-2 against the spread. However, last week against Washington State, they had to win via safety, which is interesting. Here's another thing to look at. Virginia's offense, number 28 in points per scoring opportunity. North Carolina's defense, number 32 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. A scoring opportunity is when the opponent gets a first down inside your 40-yard line, right? So Virginia gets a first down inside the North Carolina 40. They are expected to get 4.61 points per scoring opportunity, except that North Carolina only gives up 3.28. How successful can you be? That's interesting. Very interesting. North Carolina, number 6 in defensive red zone conversion percentage. That's interesting. So if Virginia is not going to be able to finish drives all that easily, will they be able to win this one by double digits? I want to take North Carolina so bad, but, man, I have seen what they look like when they are just dreadful. And I think Chandler Morris is going to be able to do some things against this defense. I think throwing the football, definitely, because North Carolina is not very good at stopping the pass. They are number 98 in passing success rate allowed. Virginia is number 35. Virginia might come out and throw this thing more just based on matchups. 10.5 is so many points. I would not actually bet this if I were you, unless you see some advantage that I don't. But I think this thing is going to be real, real close to that number. Ugh. I can't bet on North Carolina. I can't do it. I know that they covered last week at Cal. But, man, when it goes bad, it goes real bad. Give me Virginia, minus 10.5. Oof, I don't like it. Virginia, yeah, give me the Hoos. Give me the Hoos, minus 10.5 here. Over to the Mountain West, San Diego State is going to Fresno this weekend, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Saturday on FS1. San Diego State, a 3.5-point road favorite, total of 48.5. This one has come up. It was 1.5. It's now gone past 3. My power rating has San Diego State minus 3.2. My stats projected spread has San Diego State minus 5. And my last 4 weeks has Fresno minus 4.79. Both of these teams are outside of the top 114, outside of the top 110 as far as strength of schedule. So these numbers from San Diego State certainly look good, but the quality of competition has not been great. Number 12 in PPA margin for San Diego State. A lot of that is being done on the defensive side. Fresno, number 77 in PPA margin. They are number 74 in PPA per drive on offense, number 88 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. San Diego State, number 3 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. That is crazy. Number 3 in defensive success rate. They are number 1 in PPA allowed per pass. Number 4 in QBR allowed. They are number 6 in passing success allowed. Fresno is number 13 in passing success rate. So I do think Fresno will have some success throwing the football. It just may not be a ton. One thing to watch for, Fresno number 133 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. San Diego State only number 56, but, man, turnover margin, I mean, Fresno is 126 in turnover rate. It's not that San Diego State generates a lot. They're number 87 in takeaways per game, but San Diego State does not turn the ball over. Number 3 in giveaways per game. Fresno is number 29 in takeaways per game, but if San Diego State doesn't turn it over, it's going to be hard for Fresno to generate them. I do expect some turnovers out of Fresno and E.J. Warner this weekend, which may be why this number has gone up the way that it has. I've got a total of 49.5 on this, so just slightly over. Looking at pace of play, both of these are outside the top 110 as far as pace goes, so you're looking at a slower game. When San Diego State has the ball, they're going to want to run it. Fresno is pretty good against the run. Number 24 in rushing success allowed. San Diego State is number 46 in rushing success, but they are number 8 in rush rate. They run it almost 63% of the time. It's kind of different for a Sean Lewis offense. Passing the ball, they're not great. Number 61 in PPA per pass, but Fresno is number 100 in PPA allowed per pass. I think when you look at like five factors, etc., San Diego State's number 54 in five factors rank. Fresno is number 78. First half point margin, San Diego State number 9, Fresno number 93. That's a massive difference. So I would expect San Diego State, you know, probably I might bet that here in just a minute. I might make that an official play, San Diego State first half. But as far as the show is concerned, yeah, I get why San Diego State minus 1.5 jumped. I get why it's now 3.5. I wish it was still on that key of 3. I know that the last 4 weeks, Fresno would be favored. But looking at turnovers, looking at all the intangibles, et cetera, the San Diego State team doesn't make a lot of mistakes. What about penalties? Number 69 in penalties per game, number 74 for Fresno. Yeah. Give me San Diego State, minus 3.5 on the road. Over to the SEC. This one, 11:45 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on the SEC Network. And Auburn, Hugh Freeze and the boys. Now they got to go up to Northwest Arkansas for an early game after losing 2 straight night games inside Jordan-Hare. And both of them heartbreakers, really. I mean, they fought in those games against Georgia and Missouri, lost those two. Now they find themselves a 1 to 1.5 point underdog at Arkansas, and total of 56.5 to 57.5, depending on the book. My projected total is 51.5 on this. This thing opened Auburn favored by 1.5. Not gonna lie, I was on Arkansas plus 1.5. My stats predicted spread has Auburn minus 1. My power rating has Auburn minus 1. My last 4 weeks has Auburn minus 7. Both of these teams have played top 5 strengths of schedule. I feel like this thing has turned based on Bobby Petrino. Arkansas is finding ways to score. This offense is doing really big things. They're number 8 in PPA per drive on offense, number 6 in PPA per play, number 10 in offensive success rate. But at what point does Auburn just lay down? At what point do they get tired of Hugh Freeze blaming it on the players? You know, at some point, they'll be done with it. It's not as easy to get up for a game at 11:45 a.m. in Fayetteville as it is for 2 night games against top 15 teams inside Jordan-Hare, and you lose both of them in heartbreaking fashion. Auburn is, they'll be able to run the football on Arkansas. Arkansas, number 125 in PPA allowed per rush, number 121 in yards allowed per rush, number 130 in rushing success allowed. Auburn is number 21, number 60, and number 33 in those metrics. They will be able to run the football here, but they cannot throw the football. And if you get behind, which they are really good on defense, however, defensive success rate, they're number 14 overall, but number 86 against the pass. They're really good against the run. The issue is Arkansas can throw the football. Number 16 in PPA per pass compared to number 77 for Auburn. Number 19 in yards per pass attempt, number 71 for Auburn's defense. Passing success rate, number 8 for Arkansas, number 86 for Auburn. I think Petrino will be ready for this. Oh, and special teams. Arkansas is number 11. Auburn is number 121. I expect explosive plays. I expect something here. I expect a Petrino win. And if I'm only having to give up one, that's the way I'm going. Give me Arkansas, minus the 1, to keep the Auburn bleeding going. And this could be the last game for Hugh Freeze on the Plains. Granted, it's not on the Plains, but Auburn does have a bye week coming up. Yeah, give me Arkansas, minus 1. To the ACC, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on the ACC Network. NC State travels to Pitt, and Pitt has certainly gotten things rolling again. They are looking pretty good. They are 5-2 against the spread, 5-2 straight up. North Carolina State is 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. Certainly have not been great, but when you look at the 5 factors rank, Pitt number 46, NC State number 53. You look at the strength of schedule, NC State number 28, Pitt number 94. So the quality of competition has been very, very different here. This number opened 6.5. It is now out to 7.5. Or no. Opened 7.5. It's now at 6.5. 56.5 to 57.5 is the total, depending on where you go, which makes sense. It opened at 58.5. I've got a total of 52.5 on this. NC State is coming off of a bye. Pitt, number 29 in PPA margin. The offense has been doing significantly better with the backup quarterback. NC State, the defense has not been very good, but they are good in spots. Number 10 against the run, and they are number 46 against the pass as far as success rate is concerned. Pitt is number 32 in PPA per pass. NC State number 74 in that metric, so that's not good. Teams are throwing it much more on NC State because they can. NC State cannot get havoc. It's a problem. We'll see what it looks like in this game. They've had a bye week to be able to figure this out. Special teams advantage is all over Pitt. Number 5 in special teams efficiency. NC State number 114. NC State's offense, they like to throw the football around. They are number 43 in pass rate. They throw it almost 52% of the time. And that's partially because they're just not very good at running it. Number 98 in rushing success. Pitt's defense is number 5 in rushing success allowed. But Pitt is also number 19 in passing success allowed. But they're number 70 in QBR allowed and number 75 in PPA allowed per pass. So NC State could have some success throwing the football. These two teams, I think, can be really close to each other. Both of them outside the top 90 as far as giveaways per game. But Pitt is number 29 in takeaways per game. NC State, number 100. That's an issue. Both of them give up explosive plays on defense. Both of them are pretty explosive on offense. Curious what that's going to look like. Very curious what that's going to look like. NC State is the more talented roster, number 28, compared to Pitt, number 52. Pitt being at home certainly plays a factor here. But when I look at this, the fact that NC State's coming off the bye week, the fact that everybody is kind of believing on this in this Pitt thing, my power rating has Pitt minus 4. My last 4 weeks have NC State minus almost 3. And yeah, while Pitt has certainly looked better since they switched to the backup quarterback, I do believe that Dave Doran and company will be able to figure out some way, some flaw, somewhere to slow this kid down, at least a little bit. This is like the Pat Narduzzi special. Everybody believes in him, and then it becomes he loses a game somewhere he's not supposed to. I don't know that they're necessarily going to lose this one, but 7 points feels like a lot. I can still get 6.5. Wish it was still on that key of 7, but I'll take the Wolfpack here. Give me NC State to keep this thing pretty close. NC State plus 6.5.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
Once again, like the video, subscribe to the channel, of course, and jump in the comments. Give me your picks on these games. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, etc. And check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. 2:30 p.m. Central on the CW. Toledo goes to Washington State. Washington State currently a 1.5 to 2.5 point favorite, total of 47 to 47.5. Washington State looked really good in two losses against ranked teams. At Ole Miss, they held it to within 3. And they lost on a safety. What? Lost on a safety against Virginia last week in Charlottesville. So 2 straight weeks on the road, then you have to come all the way back home, and you're playing a Toledo team that has not looked very good in MAC play. I will say that. There's something about this Toledo team. They are really good when they're an underdog. They are really bad when they're favorites. That's just the Jason Candle special. It is what it is. This defense for Toledo is legit. Number 9 in PPA allowed per pass. Number 8 in PPA allowed per rush. They're number 33 in rushing success allowed. Number 25 in pass rate. Number 3 in passing success rate allowed. Washington State's offense is terrible at everything. Number 126 in passing success, number 107 in rushing success, and they're even worse on defense. Number 130 in defensive success rate allowed, number 115 passing, number 132 rushing. Toledo is the kind of team that is going to show up when you doubt them. They don't show up when you don't doubt them. And the fact that they are underdogs here and they're on the road, I think that actually kind of helps them. Five factors rank Washington State still number 118 in five factors. Toledo is number 45. You know, first half point margin, Toledo number 5, Washington State number 89. And the big thing is this Toledo defense, number 8 overall in defensive success rate, number 4 in PPA allowed per drive. I don't know that Washington State's going to be able to score. My power rating has Toledo by 3. My stats projected spread has Toledo by 7.5. My last 4 weeks would have Washington State favored by 13.84. Strength of schedule certainly plays into that. Washington State number 38, current strength of schedule. Toledo number 122. But I'll tell you, there is something here where part of me wonders whether or not Virginia and Ole Miss even cared about the games against Washington State. The numbers didn't really improve all that much for Washington State, and they still stayed within those games. I got to go Toledo. Give me Toledo, whatever the best number is that I can get, and I think 2.5. So Toledo plus 2.5, I think they are, talent-wise, these two teams are pretty equal, which is weird to say for a team that was just in the Pac-12 2 years ago and a team that's in the MAC, but talent-wise, they're both right there. I think Toledo probably wins this football game outright. So Toledo, give me the Rockets, plus 2.5. To the Big 12, Oklahoma State traveling down to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech, who are probably pretty irritated about what happened last week. Thought they had the game won in Tempe and end up losing at the last minute to Arizona State. That game got wild in the last little bit. Texas Tech favored by 38.5 at home with a total of 56.5. 3 p.m. Central Time on ESPNU is this one. Oklahoma State is playing a little bit better. My stats projected spread would have Texas Tech by 38.5. My power rating has Texas Tech minus 29. My last 4 weeks has Texas Tech by 27. Even with Oklahoma State looking a little bit better, this is still a terrible football team. They are really bad running the football, so they're not going to be able to run it on Texas Tech. They are really bad at defending the pass. Texas Tech is probably going to run it more this week. We'll see whether or not Baron Morton's back. If I were them, I'd probably hold him out another week. Texas Tech is going to be able to throw the ball no matter who is at quarterback. Number 133 in PPA per pass, number 133 in yards per pass attempt, number 135 in QBR allowed, number 135 in passing success rate allowed. Oklahoma State is so bad. They're so, so bad. But there is a part of me that wonders if they can hang in this number, right? They lost to Cincinnati, what, 49-17 last week? I think that's what the final was. So you're looking at an implied score around, well, so the books have got it 47.5-9. So let's say Tech puts up 52 points. Can they hold Oklahoma State to 10 or 13? These are the worst games to try and figure out because there's nothing Oklahoma State can do here. Tech is way more talented, way better, way more organized, better in every metric. There's not a single metric that I can find. Yeah, no, there's nothing. Penalties per game. Oklahoma State's better at not giving the ball away. .38.5 is so many points. Okay. I'll go Tech. I'll go Tech. This may be their only shot to really house Oklahoma State. I think they've got a bad taste in their mouth after last week. I would not bet this game, but on this show, we make picks. We go with one side or the other. I'll go with Texas Tech. It's kind of a pick 'em. Texas Tech minus 38.5. Wow. I can't believe I'm doing that. Red Raiders to win by 40 against Oklahoma State. Staying in the Big 12, 5 p.m. Central Time, this one on ESPN Plus. That's right, you're going to need your streamer for this one. TCU goes to Morgantown, and West Virginia has been awful. Just, I can't even begin to explain it. 2-5 is straight up. They are 3-4 against the number. Texas Christian, TCU, is 4-3 against the number. 5-2 straight up. My number likes West Virginia. Last 4 weeks, TCU minus 9. Power rating, TCU minus 8. Stats projected spread, TCU by about 10. And this thing is sitting at TCU favored by 14.5 to 15. 55.5 to 57.5 is the total here. So you can get the total anywhere you want it. Anywhere over the key of 55. The TCU offense, I think, is going to be able to do basically whatever they want to throwing the football. They're number 22 in yards per pass attempt. West Virginia's number 118. Number 21 in QBR. West Virginia's number 107. And they throw the ball 56% of the time, or almost 56% of the time. West Virginia only defends the pass 44% of the time because they're pretty bad at stopping the run as well. It's just that TCU doesn't run the ball very often or very well. They're number 53 in rushing success, but they're number 86 in yards per rush, number 90 in PPA per rush. They are going to be explosive on offense, but it's going to be through the pass. Number 5 in passing explosiveness. West Virginia's number 81 in passing explosiveness allowed. Like I said, my numbers don't like this. The problem for West Virginia is they run the ball 62% of the time. They're okay at it, but when you do that, you're running into the teeth of the TCU defense. They are significantly better at stopping the run than they are the pass, but West Virginia can't pass the ball. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, etc. You know what? It's a week after the rivalry. TCU got a big win over Baylor. Had to deal with a lot of weather and all that kind of stuff, but they did get the win. They did get the cover at home. Now you got to go on the road. There's nothing that shows me that West Virginia can really hang in this game other than the fact that it's in Morgantown. This is one of those spots where maybe you get a turnover, maybe you get something like that. West Virginia is number 20 in takeaways per game. Of course, TCU is number 11 in takeaways per game. But enough of those drives can not go the way of TCU. And the fact that I'm getting over 2 touchdowns, yeah, I'll go with the home dog. I don't feel great about it. They have not exactly been covering machines. But this is one of those spots where when you least expect it, it becomes a ball game. So I will take West Virginia plus 15 at home against TCU.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
You know what to do. Of course, subscribe to the channel. Like the video. Jump in the chat or comments. Let me know what your picks are. All that good stuff. I would love to hear from you. Over to the ACC. We got 3 more games. Let's get through them really quickly. Miami is a 30.5 point favorite, total of 45.5. Stanford got a big win over Florida State last week. And some questionable calls and whatnot. This one opened at Miami minus 29.5. They're out to 30.5. They lost at home on Friday night Friday night to Louisville. Dropped in the rankings, all that. Everybody thinks that they are going to just come back and just put a whipping on Stanford. And if you look at the numbers, I can't really argue with you, right? So my stats projected spread has Miami minus 27.5-ish. My power rating has Miami minus 23.5. And my last 4 weeks only has Miami minus 14. These are the kind of games where Miami doesn't really put their foot down. So having Miami favored by double digits, not just double digits, but more than four touchdowns, seems kind of crazy, especially with a total that's only sitting at, I mean, that's all the way down. So it opened at 48.5. It's down to 45.5. I had a total of 46 on this because I don't expect Stanford to be able to score. Although Stanford has looked a little bit better they looked a little bit better with the backup quarterback in there last week. And they found a receiver, although I don't know that they're going to be able to do very much against this Miami defense. Miami is known for getting conservative when they have a big lead. 30.5 is so many points. If they're going to try and run the ball, Stanford is at least somewhat okay against that. Number 56 in yards allowed per rush. Miami is number 72 in yards per rush. They'll be able to throw it on Stanford's defense. That will not be an issue. Stanford on offense, I don't know where they... There's nothing. I can't find anything. But I do think that 30.5 is probably too many points. I'm looking at turnover margin. I don't see any kind of an edge there. Miami is number 28 in takeaways per game. Stanford number 83 in giveaways per game. On the other side, Miami is number 80 in giveaways per game. Stanford number 118 in takeaways, so they're not very good at taking the ball away. I'm going with Stanford on this. Only because my numbers say that Miami has not been playing as well as of late. They've got other games that they're going to be more focused on. Stanford, I know, has to travel, but it's not like this is a 9 a.m. body clock game. I don't foresee Mario Cristobal putting his foot down on this. I'll take Stanford. Stanford plus 30.5. This thing could get up well over 31.5. So if you are going to bet it, I'd probably wait around a little bit. But for show purposes, give me the Cardinal plus 30.5. To the SEC, 6:45 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone. This one on the SEC Network, Tennessee goes to Lexington to take on the Kentucky Wildcats, who gave Texas a run for their money last week. Tennessee, a 9.5-point road favorite, total of 53.5 or 54.5, depending on the book. That is up from the opener of 52.5. This thing has been sitting on 9.5. My stats projected spread has got Tennessee by almost 10.5 here. Power rating, I've only got Tennessee by 6. But the last 4 weeks, I've got Tennessee by 16.66. Kentucky, much stronger strength of schedule, number 6 in the country. Tennessee, number 47 there. But this Tennessee team can still put up points. They can still drive the football. Very interesting to look at what they did last week. They were not able to finish drives, and yet they are still number 15 in the country in points per scoring opportunity. Kentucky's defense is number 81. Tennessee's defense, number 131 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Kentucky is only number 89. So Kentucky might be able to put some points up on the board. We'll see. The issue is that Tennessee is number 49 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. That's when the opponent gets a first down inside the 40-yard line. Kentucky number 77 in scoring opportunities per game. Only 5.67 drives per game. So Tennessee, looking at their five factors rank and the five factors plus talent rank, Tennessee is number 22, Kentucky number 25. These two teams are pretty close. It's what I saw from the Texas game. And I went back and rewatched it on Sunday just to figure out what in the world happened. Texas, yes, Kentucky's defense was able to do some things against them. Tennessee was not able to finish drives against Alabama, but nobody has been able to do that. So it's a little bit different there. Kentucky cannot score against decent defenses. Tennessee was not able to get a sack on Alabama last week. They are still number one in the conference. They are still number two nationally, if I'm not mistaken, in sacks. Tennessee defense, they are number 23 in havoc rate. Kentucky likes to throw the football some. They throw it deep, but they don't complete a lot of them. If the quarterback does not have time, that's going to be an issue. So I'm not looking at Kentucky being able to score a lot of points on the Tennessee defense. On the other side, I think Tennessee is going to be able to score on Kentucky. There were missed opportunities for Texas in that ballgame. This is one of those spots. Kentucky rarely covers against Tennessee, and I don't expect them to do that here. I can get it at less than 10. Tennessee got a bad taste in their mouth last week. I think that, you know, it is the second straight game on the road. I get that. But this Tennessee team is significantly more talented. It's a top 10 roster. Kentucky is a top 25 roster. And when you start looking at turnover margin, et cetera, you know, that is an issue for Tennessee, number 91 in giveaways per game. Well, Kentucky's number 104. And Tennessee's better at generating turnovers. And they're going to have more opportunities because they're number three in the country in pace of play. Kentucky's number 76. I don't think Kentucky's able to run the ball here. This is going to be – I don't know that it'll get ugly. But this is one of those games where Heupel will put the pedal to the metal. Give me Tennessee to cover this one on the road. Tennessee minus 9.5. Last game on the board, and we are in the Big 12 for this one. Houston going to Arizona State, 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. Arizona State, a 7.5 to an 8.5 point favorite, depending on which book. Total of 46.5 to 47.5, again, depending on which book. Power rating, I've got Arizona State by 3.5. Stats projected spread, I've got Arizona State by 2.65. Last 4 weeks, I've got Houston favored by 8.53. How Arizona State beat Texas Tech last week, I have no idea. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. They are number 27 in current strength of schedule. Houston only number 98. This Houston defense is pretty good. The offense is abysmal. Arizona State is number 80 in PPA margin. Houston is number 71. I find that interesting. Arizona State is dead last in special teams efficiency. How they continue to win these games, I will never understand. They are 5-2 straight up. Houston is 6-1. And this is coming off of just a really emotional, big-time win for Arizona State. Now you got to deal with this Houston team that's 5-2 against the number and somehow keeps being in these games. Like, I don't understand it. Five factors rank, Arizona State number 74, Houston number 80. This is a tight, tight ball game. Both are number 7 in giveaways per game, so neither team really turns it over that much. Houston is number 40 in penalties per game. Arizona State number 111, so Houston the more disciplined team. Houston number 7 in net explosiveness. Arizona State number 94. Looking at pace of play, Arizona State number 84, so they go significantly slower. Houston is number 52 in that. The issue is that Houston is number 115 in offensive success rate. Number 110 passing, number 117 rushing, but they're number 36 in defensive success rate. They're not great against the run. They are number 75 in rushing success, but they are number 22 in yards allowed per rush. Number 15 in offensive line yards allowed. Arizona State is number 47 on offense. Arizona State cannot throw the football. Like, they're not good at it. Number 121 in yards per attempt, number 113 in QBR, number 113 in PPA per pass, but they run the ball. Number 31 in PPA per rush, number 50 in yards per rush, etc. The fact that this is over a touchdown blows my mind. Schedule spot's weird. There's a lot here. When all else fails, trust Willie Fritz. I can get an 8.5 here. I'll take the Cougars. I don't like the fact that Arizona State's coming off of a massive win. Now you got to get up for another one. Houston is ready for this one. And, yeah, the strength of schedule thing does bother me here. But I think this number got inflated a little bit. My last 4 weeks, I've got Houston favored by 8. So Houston has been playing really well. Not great on offense, but better than they had been. I'll take the Cougars to keep this thing relatively close. Give me Houston, plus 8.5. All right, once again, check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. If you would so kindly, you can get these stat sheets for every FBS game every single week, along with the matchup comparison tool, along with a lot of the stats, advanced analytics and whatnot that I post on the site as well. It's late. I'm losing it. Let's go on and recap this thing. Subscribe to the channel if you hadn't done that. Of course, like the video. I would certainly appreciate that. Oregon minus 33.5. Purdue plus 2.5. Mississippi State plus 7.5. Northwestern plus 7.5. Minnesota plus 9.5. Michigan State plus 14.5. Kansas minus 2.5. Georgia Tech minus 17.5. Virginia minus 10.5. San Diego State minus 3.5. Arkansas minus 1. NC State plus 6.5. Toledo plus 2.5. Texas Tech minus 38.5. Still cannot believe it that I did that. West Virginia plus 15, Stanford plus 30.5, Tennessee minus 9.5, Houston plus 8.5. Oh, it's been a week. Guys, it is week 9. We are rocking and rolling. We are more than halfway done. We're going to miss this thing when it's gone. We do it every year. Every year. We get to a point in the season where we're kind of exhausted. We're going to miss this sport when it goes away for the spring. I know that much. All right. With that said, you guys are fantastic, by the way. Thank you. Thank you for always supporting the show. I have a good time doing it. It's just me by myself having a great time. Yes, let's hope we get some more winners this week. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow at GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.